making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that Word, that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, and that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for being with us for another edition and another week of Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And again, we are very, very thankful to bring this radio broadcast to you each and every week that we might go back to the Word of God and consider the great doctrinal truths of the Christian faith and what the Lord has revealed to us as His people, those who are Christians, that we might live a life of godliness for Him and grow in the truth. That growing in the truth is so important and can't be emphasized enough when we live in a day where truth is cast down, and even in the Christian church, we have come to a mindless Christianity where there is no conviction anymore. Oh, how the church needs people again with conviction. Conviction to stand up with what the Word teaches. Well, this week I want to look at the atonement with you in Romans chapter 3 at verses 21 through 26. The atonement. The atonement is a wonderful issue to consider exactly what Christ did on the cross to pay for sins. This has always, of course, been an area surrounded by much dispute and much, argumentation over who did Christ atone for. Every single human being in the world, did He pay for every single person's sins? And when I say pay, I mean pay for them, which would have a huge implications in terms of actually sin being atoned for and people being freed from sin and death. Or was the death of Christ, in a sense, limited, as it is often stated, a limited atonement to those whom Christ only died for, those whom He knew from eternity and chose for everlasting life? As the statement of that doctrine goes, is that Jesus' death was specifically intended to save a certain definite number of persons given to Him by His Father from before the foundation of the world to atone for their sins and theirs alone. The other stream of thought is that Jesus actually did pay for everyone's sins, and so He effectually paid for sin and now leaves it up to the sinner to make the choice, and then Jesus' death sort of becomes effective if, with their own faith, they sort of draw out the goods from the bank. Well, we want to consider this week, what does the Bible teach? What is the truth concerning the atonement? And why all the baggage around this discussion? My goal this week is not to confound or not to be intimidating or not even provoking when it comes to this issue, but to sincerely look at what the Scripture teaches and look at this from a different angle. Not so much that we might immediately be put on the defense, as this is some sort of bad teaching and some sort of teaching that we would characterize as unfair, but actually a glorious teaching when we look at just what Christ did when He went to the cross to atone for sins. These have been precious truths, these what we call doctrines of grace, to Christians from the beginning. But in my years of being in a Reformed church, I've noticed at least a real backlash against many of the teachings that for years were understood to be glorious teachings of sovereign grace. Many churches today are witnessing their young people leave. Many churches today are struggling to maintain who they are, all with the feeling that we're missing something. And so anything that is doctrinal, anything that is what would be considered as dry old dogma that really belongs just to the theologians is thrown out because it doesn't fit the model of how we would say this applies to everyday life. And maybe we have to say we are part to blame for this. Maybe we have not witnessed in us a real desire, a passion, a love to know the truth of the Word of God. The doctrines, as even doctrine today has become sort of a dirty word. And so we haven't given a sort of relevance to understanding the beauty of these scriptural teachings. More often than not, we simply don't diffuse a sort of joy and excitement over what we believe Scripture teaches, especially concerning the atonement. So let's consider this week. Why should we believe in what some have designated as a definite atonement? Why should we believe this? Maybe we have become a little disgruntled about this, or maybe we question the whole teaching simply because of the way the conversation often comes up when some people hear about it. Definite or limited atonement, they say? Isn't that old doctrine that no one seems to believe today anymore except you? We respond, well, look, it's a biblical teaching. What? You believe in a limited atonement? Aren't you trying to limit Christ's death? I mean, really, how could you stand out on the street corner and give anyone good news when you hold to something like that? Why do you advance a teaching that tries to keep people out of heaven? That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible doctrine you will hear. How could you believe that? And really, there's a lot of anger surrounding such a doctrine today. Well, the answer comes back, the Bible teaches it, which then sort of ignites the fire all the more. And you know how the conversations go. It's as if somebody else is the aggressor in this area, and immediately the one who holds this is put on the defensive, and more often than not, it's simply because it just sounds so negative. I believe that Christ's death is for those whom he came to save, and that's not for everyone. When these conversations are sort of framed this way, we immediately think it seems as if they have the upper ground, they seem to have the really good news, they seem to have something far more glorious to offer the world, and we're left to feel that we have the not-so-good news, that our news limits the death of Christ, that our news is sad and scary. Where is gospel in that? Well, I submit to you, if these questions aren't answered, if we don't have any real excitement and understanding of why we believe this, you can be sure your children won't either. You can be sure people won't understand why we believe these things, and soon enough, these teachings will die. I suspect that it's not so much that many don't believe them, but that there's a sort of embarrassment about them, a sort of shunning of these great doctrines of grace, a sort of uncomfortability and uneasiness when it comes to discussing them, and maybe we all operate a little bit on pragmatism. I mean, since so few today believe in the idea of a limited atonement, when years ago the majority of Christians believed this, today we've had a real shift. And so today, with the rest of the evangelical world repudiating such an idea, it's just best to leave it alone. Why go there? What benefit does it really have? Well, today and this week I want to challenge you. I want you to think and have an open mind to at least why so many Christians throughout this present age have believed this. And want to convince you, and hopefully looking at the scriptures today show you, it should be the most wonderful news to your ears. It should be the greatest news for the missionary who is out on the farthest ends of the earth giving the gospel. It should be the greatest news for us who are struggling with our sin. And that's not strong. How can we make such a claim? Well, we make it because this is good news. We have a reason to live in excitement over the fact that when Christ came to this earth, he actually accomplished what he set out to do. He actually paid for our sins by becoming our substitute, and by doing that, he set us free from condemnation and death. And that must result, in the end, the salvation of our souls. Is it really a good news, I ask, to go around saying, well, Christ actually purchased and paid for everyone? But if they in their own power don't appropriate it through their own works and through their own ways and beliefs, well, then Christ's death really isn't effectual. It's only effectual dependent upon who? Us? Well, that's not the way the Bible characterizes it. The Bible characterized the atonement that when Christ came and paid for sin, he actually paid for sin. So if he actually paid for sin, those for whom he paid for the sin were bought, purchased, redeemed, and are set apart, having heaven reserved for them to be glorified on that day. That's glorious. Do we know who? No, the Bible doesn't tell us. It just tells us the fact of it, that we might revel and that we might marvel in the sovereign grace of God. So why should we look at this week? Well, it should be said that the emphasis and the controversy often surrounds the word limited. It's a word that has sort of caused the problem in this. But surely no one, when they say that, means to say that the atonement is limited in its power. It's unlimited in its power, since it makes certain that those for whom Christ died will be saved. It is sufficient for all. It has that kind of power. Christ is not only the propitiation for us, but for the whole world. It is sufficient for all, not just for Christians in Linden, but everywhere. But as the scriptures teach, it is only effectual and only effectually applied to the elect. An elect is a word used by God himself throughout the Bible to describe his people, his chosen people. Just because we don't like that and try to measure it by our terms of what we think is fair doesn't negate the fact the Bible teaches this. His blood was given. Nevertheless, the hang-up still resides with the word limited, doesn't it? But I submit to you this morning that a right understanding of this teaching should never be concerned with how many. That simply is not the issue at stake, is it? It's not the heart of it. Now, it is true that the scriptures do make unequivocal and clear statements that Christ's death is not for all. Think of something like John 10. This is Jesus. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, or better translated, my sheep. And then he goes on to say this to the Pharisees, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Now, you just said he lays down his life for the sheep. Surely he did not lay down his life for the Pharisees. Or something like John 17. I manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. It's specifically stated there. All men were not given to him for him to die for, only those given to him by his Father. Nor does he pray for all men in the world. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It's specific. He gave himself for his sheep, his church, his people, whom he came to save, Matthew 1. We're going to look at that this week and why the implications of that are so glorious. It means, my friends, for those who have come to believe in Jesus, your salvation is sure, and you can know for sure that Christ shed his blood for you. If you don't believe and you have not come to Jesus, then you can be sure you are outside of him. The only way you know your election, the only way you know Christ's death is for you, is with this simple issue. Have you trusted and believed in him alone for salvation? Then you can know Christ has died for you and freed you from your sin and misery. We give you a sincere invite to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church. Our promise to you is to proclaim Christ to you in season and out of season, to open the Word of God. Presently in the mornings, we are going through the book of Genesis, and in the evening, the book of Romans. So two very pivotal books in the Bible to understand the doctrines of grace and understand the great truth of Christ and Him crucified. Join us 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The website is lindenurc.com, phone number 318-0429. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.